Good morning, everybody. There are not many in person today. I anticipate there's a whole lot more people online today, and it's good to see everyone there. Good to see everyone anywhere that we can be together in the name of God. So thank you all for being a part of it. A few announcements as we get started today. The first one is that seminary Sunday mornings are still going on. Our seminary, Memphis Theological Seminary, is putting on some Sunday school lessons at 9 o'clock online. It runs from 9 to about 10. And the good news is that they are on the Memphis Theological website, and you can watch them anytime. So we'll be posting those links on our Facebook page. Make sure you take a look at those. We'll put them on the website as well. It's just a unique opportunity to kind of learn some things about Scripture and about spirituality and the faith that maybe we didn't know before. So if you can be a part of that, would love for you to be a part of it. The second week thing is, a week from this Thursday, I'm going to start a four-week Zoom Bible study series on women in the Christian tradition. So it'll be 4 weeks. We'll get together on Thursday evenings, be looking for that online, be looking for that on Facebook, and we'll make sure that we have all kinds of information about that. But that'll be coming a week from this coming Thursday. And then the third thing is, for our Angel Tree, for our homeless friends, we've been doing Christmas in July and getting a lot of stuff in. I want to let you know this. All we really need left for the bags for this year, so we'll be done preparing for the Christmas bags, the Angel Tree, is 15 water bottles, right, Jackie? And 10 flashlights. And at that point, we're basically covered. We got a shipment of two boxes of socks yesterday or day before, and that kind of finished us up there. So 15 water bottles, 10 flashlights. If you want to pick those up, let me know. If I can come get them from you, however you want to do that, we'll make sure we finish that out and be ready to go for Angel Tree in December. Are there any other announcements for anybody here that we need to know about? Or if you know anything going on online that you need to let us know about, type it in Facebook Live or in the YouTube as well. Anything else going on? No, I don't know about Harold. We'll share in a few moments Harold Schaefer passed away yesterday, a heartbreaking situation. We don't have any plans or any arrangements yet for Harold, but we'll know very soon. So yeah, thank you for asking. Are there any other announcements this morning that we need to? Well, if not, would you all stand for our call to worship, please? It comes from Psalm 119. For those online, I hope you hear this scripture and catch something from it. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We have sworn an oath and confirmed it to observe your righteous ordinances. Accept our offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach us your ordinances. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, the reason that we get together on Sunday mornings, the reason we gather around our televisions, our laptops, here in the sanctuary, on our phones, wherever it is that we gather around today, the reason we do it is that we offer up our praise. We recognize your God. We recognize your King. We recognize your Savior. We recognize you are the Messiah. We recognize that you are the Spirit of this world. And so we come together as we recognize that, lifting your name up and saying, this is our God. We do that, Lord, because we pledge ourselves to you in that. We recognize that when we say you're our God, there is no other way to go. And so we thank you, God, that we can come together and we can worship you and call on your name. The other reason, though, Lord, that we come is that we hear your ordinances. We hear how you would have us live our lives. We hear, Lord, through the scriptures and through songs and hopefully through the message that there is a way to live in this world that is of you, your ordinances. And so we ask you, God, to teach us those things as well. We ask you to bless us in this time so that we can go and bless others. We ask, Lord, that you provide blessings to all of us, so that we can provide blessings to all people. We ask this in your name, and God's people said, you may be seated. Our first song today is welcome back, James. Good to have you, brother. Missed you last week. The first song is one we all know. He's got the whole world in his hands, and this is one I believe. So thank you all for leading us in music.
He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands he's got the wind and the rain, right. In his hands he's got the wind and the rain. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little babies. In his hand he's got little bitty babies. In his hands he's got little bitty babies. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got you and me, sister, right. In his hands he's got you and me, brother. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got everybody here. In his hands he's got all of you there. In his hands he's got you and me here, right. In his hands he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands.
Look, it can be dreary outside. We can be dealing with virus and all that kind of stuff. And you hear that, man, if you can't feel a little bit better with the world. You know what I mean? That's fantastic. Thank you all so much. I wanted to give out a couple of prayer requests, or three prayer requests specifically, that we want to talk about as we talk about our offering as well. The first one is we need to be praying for Sharon Gardner. She's been dealing with Bell palsy and also a sinus infection. Like, one or the other is not bad enough, and having them both together at the same time is awful. So we need to keep Sharon in our prayers, praying for you, Sharon. Also, Frank Barrett. Many of us know Frank. He has the Barrett Roofing Company. He is at Centennial Hospital now. And is infected and has COVID, the COVID-19. So we need to make sure we keep Frank and his family in our prayers. And then again, Harold Schaefer's family. I got a call yesterday. He was moving home from assisted living yesterday, was going to come home because he had been diagnosed with lung cancer. And in the midst of coming back, he suffered a heart attack and is no longer with us. And what I keep hearing the same thing over and over is, that's a good man. That's a good man. And so we'll miss Harold tremendously and ask for prayers for his family. I want to tell you something else that's going on. There's somebody watching. I won't say who, but there's somebody watching that does some work here and there and where they live. And every week right now, I'm getting a piece of mail that has a few dollars in it as tithe. And it always says in there the tithe from, and who it's from. It's from somebody that watches online. And she was brought up, I understand, from as a child to tithe. That's what you do, is you tithe the church, recognizing the goodness of a tithe, that, you know, it's not our responsibility, it's not what we do that brings in the blessings we have. It's God, and we return some of that, and taught from early on to do that. And wouldn't you know that we're getting the church's blessings from that, so we can bless other people. So thank you to that person. Thank you for all those that support what we're doing in the church. And I hope that we remember, too, that our offering is not simply our tithe and our gifts like that. It is everything we do in this world. So as we go and live our life, let's recognize that we get to give tithes and gifts everywhere we go. And thank God we get to do it. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we lift up Sharon Gardner. We lift up Frank. We lift up the family of Harold Schaefer. We lift up these names to you because we hurt for these folks. We want blessings for these folks. We pray for those online right now that are putting names in of people that they want to have prayer for. We thank you, God, that we'll put those together and we'll get that to our prayer team so that's prayed over every day. We thank you, God, that we can come to you in prayer and do these things. And we thank you, God, not only do we give our prayers, but we give everything else to you as well as our offering. We thank you, God, that we get to do that. And so we ask for blessings for these that are in difficult times. We ask for blessings in our offering so that they can become 60 and 100 fold of what we give, so that they might do wonderful things in this world. We ask, Lord, these things because we know that you are the author of all good things. And so we turn to you to do good. We ask these things, Lord, because we love you and we believe in you. And we say it through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We have been now 5 weeks into a sermon series on the fruits of the Spirit. So we're going to do the next of the fruits of the Spirit this week. You'll see the word goodness in this one that we read. Recognize your Bible may say something different. This is particularly from the NIV because I think it's a good translation. But know that you may have something, it may have generosity or anything else, but we'll talk about that. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23 again is this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One thing that I think that we ought to do, that I believe we ought to think about, is that we should make sure that we're defining ourselves, that we're living our lives, judging ourselves by the proper standards. And I don't mean a bad kind of judgment either. I mean, how do I identify myself? How do I judge if I'm a human worthy of breathing air, you know? Or am I just wasting breath that somebody else may need someday? How do I judge that I exist in a right and in a good way? Because I want to make sure I do. I think we all should. If I'm only going to be given one lap around this life, I want to make sure that I run that race right. I want to be intentional about what standards I use to judge how I'm doing about it. Am I heading in the right direction? Am I who I am supposed to be given this amazing gift of life that I've been given? And y'all, this is such a wonderful gift, this life. It's worth treasuring, and we want to make sure that we're living it as best we can. Recognizing, of course, that that's not easy to do. It's not easy to make sure our standards are right because there's a lot of different standards to judge ourselves by. There's a lot of different makes and models to go through life. There's a lot of different ways to go about living, and some of those ways of living, boy, they are seductive, I'm telling you. There are some temptations in this world. It's tempting to judge ourselves and judge others too by the wrong set of standards. So I ask, by what standards do we judge ourselves to make sure that we're going about things the right way we ought to be going? This is a question that we ought to ask ourselves. It's a worthwhile exercise because we need to make sure that we're going about things using the correct set of definitions. What I don't want to do is get to the end of the life and realize I've been going about it all wrong. Suzanne and I and John and Stephen and Philip were traveling one night coming back from New York City back to Philadelphia. We'd been visiting friends in Philly and then drove the 2 hours up to Manhattan just to look around. And you know, Pennsylvania's right there beside New York, so it's a quick day trip. It's just a couple of hours, no big deal. So we drove up there using the New Jersey Turnpike, I-95, zipped right through New Jersey, up into New York City. We were there in no time, no big deal. So anyway, we were there all day long doing our thing. We were visiting the sights, having a time of it. We ate dinner in Little Italy and said our goodbyes to the city that never sleeps. And then we made our way back down the New Jersey Turnpike to Philadelphia. Suzanne had the map. Don't ask no questions. I won't tell you no lies. But that was the beginning of the issue. The second issue was I didn't question where we were going. I'm telling you, I've told this story so many times, she's been mad about it and got over it. So, so anyway, we got on the New Jersey Turnpike heading south. And I just started driving down the road. And I drove, and I kept driving, and I drove some more. And I drove until I read a sign that had terrible news on it. It said, "Welcome to Delaware." I don't know if y'all are aware of this or not. Philadelphia is not in Delaware. Philadelphia's in Pennsylvania, and so I didn't want to be in Delaware. I'd missed my turn to go to Philly, and I'd driven all the way across the state of New Jersey, and now is where I didn't want to be. I wasn't just in the wrong county. I was in the wrong state, so I was heading the wrong way. And the reason was, is that it never occurred to me as I was driving along to question where I was going. It never crossed my mind to check if I was heading to the proper destination. I was just on the road and I figured I was right. I was following other cars that I figured were right. I was passing white stripe after white stripe that I figured was right up until I received evidence that I wasn't heading the right way anymore. If I'd only taken a moment to judge the road map, boy, I'd save some time, wouldn't I? If I just looked at the map and made sure that I was going the right way, we've got to judge by the right standards, y'all, or we get lost before we even realize it happens. So how do we judge how we're going? Because there's a lot of different destinations and a whole lot of different way of getting to those destinations. By what standards do we judge? That's the question. For instance, one way that we're tempted to judge is by success. Are we successful? Man, that's a lure, isn't it? And it's a lure because to some degree it's important. As members of the community, we should set goals and reach for those goals and try to do better for ourselves and try to do better for other people. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Noah built an ark, not a pontoon boat. You know what I mean? We ought to be taking our God-given abilities and doing something successful with them. There's nothing wrong with that. But when we take that too far, when we pervert the idea of success, when we stretch it past its breaking point, then we suddenly start judging ourselves and judging other people by the amount of success that we have. Man, the first thing we men ask each other is, what do you do for a living? That's what defines us? That can be tough. That can be detrimental. We might get down on ourselves if we haven't done what we feel like others have done. We might get resentful if others have accomplished something and I haven't, like maybe I should have. I remember back when I had a car that didn't look so good and a job that couldn't get me a better car. And I remember I'd pull into parking lots sometimes and I'd pass by all the cars and I'd count to see how many of those cars I'd rather drive than mine. And it was most of the cars. And I'd get down about myself. Judging ourselves by the world standards can do that to us. It's not a good thing. Don't do that. And the other side of that coin is horrible too. I've heard these statements before. I've heard people being real judgy about a person or a group of people or whatever when those other people didn't do what the people thought they ought to do. The Lord helps those who help themselves, I've heard. I worked hard and made something of myself, and those people ought to do that too. They need to be successful. I don't need to help them. They need to help themselves. And as true as that might be in some circumstances, it's not our place to judge. If we're judging by that, we've pushed success too far because we don't know what other people have been through. We don't know what they've been through. We don't know what they've experienced. We don't know what their childhood was like. And if you don't think childhood matters, why'd you raise your kids so good? You know, we don't know. Judging the world by success tempts us to look at things a little bit skewed, but I don't know of any time that Paul said the fruit of the Spirit is success. But our world sure looks like it'd prefer to take a bite of that sometimes, doesn't it? We preachers have got a bad dose of that. You can't get two preachers together without one of us asking how big the other one's church is, as if that's how you determine how Jesus-y a church can be. I had a boss one time that was quite successful. He was always driven to be more successful, too. He was very much determined by his value of success. So we were in the office one day, and he said, you know what most successful people have in common? Then he said, well, except for maybe Bill Gates and a few others, you know what they all have in common? I said, no, I don't. What do all the successful people have in common? And he said, just as a matter of factly, they're all divorced. He said, they're all prepared to give up whatever they had to get what they want, to be successful. They were all prepared to do that. And he said it like it was a good thing. Like whatever it takes to be successful is worth doing because success is what he thought we ought to define ourselves by. And I was a little shocked. And when I told him I wasn't about that, he snickered a little bit. That snicker like, I didn't get it. How do we define ourselves? Is it ever by our success? How else do we define ourselves? What about politics? Do we use politics to define ourselves and others? You bet in our world we do. That's exactly how the world is telling us today to define ourselves, to divide ourselves up. And do we use that to judge how we are going or what direction we're going? Because don't do that. Don't do that ever. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't fall on one side of a topic or not. We will, we should, we have opinions, but let's not define ourselves by that. The fruit of the Spirit is not political allegiance. I'll give you another one that I've dealt with in all my life. Not all my life, a lot of my life. And I'm going to get personal right here because I think we ought to be personal as a church. I think we ought to be open. I think this is one place where we need to bear our souls. So I'm going to bear mine a little bit. Y'all forgive me. So here's what I've dealt with, and I know others have dealt with too. We men are so often tempted to define ourselves and to judge ourselves on our manliness. That's not the best thing to judge ourselves on. That's not a good idea. I'll tell you a story. Don't get sad about this story. I assure you, I'm not sad about it. It's okay. But on January 2nd, 1989, I got the ever-loving snot beat out of me. I know the date because that was the day we went back to school my senior year, and I thought it was really weird going back the day after New Year's, but we did, and right before school, my New Year started off pretty bad. A guy I had a beef with, actually I didn't know I had a beef with him until he let me know I did, and he let me know by tapping me on the shoulder, and as I turned my head, he popped me real good and laid me out. Now, he could have written me a letter. He could put an address on it, put a stamp on it, and invited me to a situation to beat the tar out of me, and he could have done it. He didn't have to do it like this. He could have planned it out. But that wasn't the bad part of the day anyway. We had an open lunch period at my high school. We didn't have a lunchroom. It was built before lunchrooms were a thing, I guess. So we would go to Wendy's or McDonald's or wherever, or we'd sometimes eat from the vending machines. That particular day, I decided to go eat out of the vending machine and find a place where I could be alone, for obvious reasons. So I went up the hallway behind the gym. Somerset High School is an old school. It's a very old school. Everything is made out of stone in the oldest part of the school. And back up in that hallway behind the gym was a little spot that nobody ever really went. And I just decided that that would be the place that I would go for the day. Well, the problem with old stone hallways is that they echo. And at the other end of the hallway, I could hear some people talking. And then I realized they were talking about me. It's a small world at Somerset High School. Word travels fast. I heard one kid say, "He didn't fight back. He must be a queer." And another one said, "Yeah, he's definitely a so-and-so," and I won't use a derogatory name. I won't repeat it in the presence of God and everybody else. Like I said, don't cry for me. I don't take myself away from these fools. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. But it did hurt back then. I felt like I was less of a man than I was supposed to be. I was being judged that way, and I wondered what that meant to be a man. Do I have to fight to be a man? Is that what I have to do? And so for a time afterwards, and for a long time probably, I acted in ways that showed how I judged myself by my own manhood. To be a man, you got to be this kind of person. You have to be that kind of person because this and that are manly things. Don't wear pink. Don't like a romantic movie. Drive fast. Live hard. Bow up when it's time to bow up. No more backing down. That's the kind of manliness that we have in our culture. It's a temptation to judge ourselves by that and others by that so that we define ourselves by that. It's almost like we think that Jesus at one point said, "Blessed are the manly." It's the fruit of the Spirit, manliness? No. But I thought it was. I was told it was. I believed it was. And I lived like it was. Now, maybe none of those hit home for you. Maybe I missed. Or maybe they do hit home. Maybe some of them do. Maybe I just think about things too much and I make mountains out of molehills. Somebody would say that as well. But I don't know. I don't think I do. I think it's important for us to judge ourselves on the right definitions. The point in the Christian faith is diving deep into that question so that we can answer it surely and completely. How do we define ourselves in this life, this God-given life, this miraculous, beautiful, gorgeous, fantastic, excellent experience of life that we get to live? How do we live, church, dancing in God's vineyard? Well, Paul had something to say about that. Imagine that. And he said that the way we know we're living in the Spirit, how we know when the Spirit of God is blowing at our back, is that we are simply good. Goodness. That's the word we read, was it not? That's exactly the word Paul used. If we want to judge how we are making it, are we just good? Are we good? Well, that's hard to answer, I guess, when we don't know what good means. Is success good? Is manliness good? What does it mean to be good? And what Paul meant, I believe, is that we know we're heading in the right way. We know we are feasting on a fruit of the Spirit when intrinsically, when something down deep inside of us, something hidden from sight, but something that quickly boils to the surface, something in us is awakened so that we are what Jesus declared to be good. The word that Paul uses means a goodness that is kind. It's a goodness that is caring, a goodness that is generous, that is worried about other people. You have to trust me on this. That's what Paul meant when he said that the fruit of the Spirit is goodness, that we are intrinsically good. This good that Paul mentions, and you have to know this, is a good that is specifically kind to other people. The good is a good where we are good to others. To be good means to be good to other people. And the reason is very simple. They only have one lap around this life too, and we need to make it better. That's what Paul meant. And that goodness becomes a part of who we are when we're living in the Spirit. We don't judge ourselves. We don't judge anybody else using any other standards sold to us by the world. We are simply to feast on goodness and know that that is the standard we are to live by and none other. Jesus said this was the biggest of all the laws. Remember that? He said that every other law, every other ordinance is based off of one law. Love God and love everybody else as much as you love yourself. God made them too, and that's good, man. That is so good. So goodness then is our ability to live well with others, loving them, being generous to others, being kind, a purposeful kindness like we talked about last week, you remember? And y'all, that's not easy. Man, that's not easy. Have you met some of the people in this world? They feel like fools, and yet we're supposed to be good anyway. That's not easy, and in fact, I'll call it impossible. I will call it absolutely impossible unless we're blessed by God with the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. We can't make this fruit of goodness on our own. It's a gift of the Spirit. It's not a gift of Jason's. It's not a gift of Alex. It's not a gift of this brother, that sister. It's not a gift of any of it. It's a gift specifically from God. That's the thing about the Spirit. They're miracles. They're absolute miracles. Because if it's up to me, I'm going to judge my life or anybody's life on other kinds of goodness. I'm not going to do it on this kind of goodness. I'm not going to judge everything in ways that is telling me is right because the world has most of my attention. I have to live in the world, so it's constantly telling me all day long by what standards I should live in. If it's not until I'm intentional. It's not until I search, it's not until I yearn and hunger and thirst for righteousness, when I break away from the world's standards and ideas, and when I walk in the way of Jesus Christ, instead, it's not until I do that that God has a chance to heal me from the inside. It's not until I come to Jesus crawling like the Syrophoenician woman. It's not until I just try to come to touch the garment like the woman with the blood issue. It's not until I call out to Jesus asking what he's going to do with me like Legion in the graveyard. It's not until I throw myself at Jesus' feet like the Samaritan man who had leprosy did. It's not until I beg Jesus for the living water like the woman at the well did. It's not until we submit to a whole new way of being that the Spirit will blow through us and instill in us the goodness that doesn't care what the world has to say, but demands that this Christian, this one right here, this one that is with God, is simply going to do good for others in this world. That's it. That's it. That's how we will live. How do we judge ourselves? How do we know we are doing in this kingdom of God? Just check and see if you're feasting on goodness. And see if you're inviting everybody else to that table to feast as well. Then you'll know. The fruit of the Spirit, goodness, generosity, whatever word that you have in your Bible, is the foundation of the Christian life. That is the essence of the Christian life. Are we good? Do we live out goodness with everyone we can find? Is that how we judge how we are doing, by how good we are, how kind we are to others. I believe a whole lot of people in this church can say yes to that. I've met you. If we do, we're living in the Spirit. Man, and life is good when we live in the Spirit. Life is good when we live life how God planned it. But if not, if we can't say that we are living in goodness, I got some fantastic news for you. You too can feast on the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. All you've got to do is give up your will. We just have to give up the world's ways. Give up the ways we've judged and identified and take upon us the ways of Jesus Christ. And when we do, a miracle, my brothers and sisters, will happen. Goodness will find root and the fruit will grow everywhere. Paul promised that because he believed it to be true, and thanks be to God, we can all experience it. So go be good, my friends. Go be good. In the way of Jesus Christ, find goodness. And God's people said, our last song today is one that maybe we don't know. It's not in our hymnals. It's I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And I thank our musicians once again for leading us in music.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. The nor flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. So many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know, oh, tomorrow, yes, I know who holds my hand.
It is so good to see everybody here and online today as well, and I ask that you join me once again in prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you show us what goodness looks like. No matter the situation, no matter where we're going, no matter the direction we travel, we ask that you reorient us on goodness, that you point it out, that you allow it to be a sign for us to see, and so much that we can't miss it, that something happens in our life that we know immediately that is good and we want to be a part of it. We ask you these things, Lord, because we know it's the fruit of the Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, then to dismiss us from here, but never from you, because we want to be close to you, loving you, and being a part of your will in every way. We ask this in God's name, and God's people said, amen. Amen. It is good to see you all again. Good to see everybody online, and God bless. Love you all a whole bunch. Blessings, blessings.